just want to start.
First of all, say thank you. There's an awful lot of faces here that I wasn't expecting to see. Thank you for being here. Hopefully I glorify God in everything. I want to start by reading Ephesians 1, 1 to 6. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through his Son Jesus. So we praise God for his glorious grace. I'll start by saying I came from Whitehall. I came from a family of six children, three girls and three boys. My sister Elaine sits there, is one above me. I have three brothers and another sister, Gail. We came from quite a quiet family background, not a lot of drink, except for my dad. My mum didn't drink, so we were all sort of kept in the quiet and had quite peaceful childhood upbringing. Went to Sunday school in Rosemary Park Baptist Church every week, every Sunday afternoon. Went to First Bangor Presbyterian in the mornings, so we were well churched. Not that that stopped anybody getting into trouble. We all had our times. When my sister Elaine was born, she was born very ill in April 1963. I was born in, she's reaching because I'm telling everybody what age she is. I was born then in the May of 64. Elaine was still in hospital when I was born, in and out, because she was very ill. My mum had a lot of time spent at the hospital with Elaine, which meant I was passed actually to a friend of the family. I didn't think, well, I'm sure my mum and dad didn't think at the time that I would feel rejected in that, that I wasn't really part of our family, because I was brought in as the baby but passed straight out to another family sort of a lot of the time. I didn't hold that against anybody, but I still felt it, and I felt it through when I was at home and the rest of them would have said that I was an alien or that I had been adopted, because I was never really there with the rest of them. But it was hard, and I sort of clung to my mum a lot as a child. I grew up, went to GB, went to Rosemary Park, as I said, and in one of their summer clubs, when I was 13, I gave my life to the Lord. A lot of my friends laughed at me for wanting to go to church and for wanting to go to GB, but that's just where I felt like I belonged, because I felt rejection at home. I felt like I fitted in better in the church. Not that any of my brothers and sisters were ever bad to me, I just didn't feel that connection because I'd been out of the home so much. And I mean, Esme and Alistair that looked after me, loved me, spoilt me, but it just wasn't the same as being at home. Elaine and I got into a bit of drinking and discoing in the Blue Lamp discos. One night in particular, I went out dressed in my mum's lovely blue velvet jacket, thinking, trying to make myself older looking to get into the discos with Elaine to sort of look after her. And Elaine decided to go off the seawall into the beach with a load of drink in her, and I had to go in after her in my mum's blue velvet jacket. So I wasn't the most popular person in the household then, because we had to be collected from Bangor Police Station. And it was the first for me. So that went on, and Elaine and I were quite close everywhere she went, discos and stuff. I went along all these Blue Lamp discos. She got locked in the toilets one time I had to climb over the whole thing and down and then to get her out because she'd fallen asleep because she was drunk. I was drinking along with her, but I was always quite sensible with drink because I knew my limits. So we grew up anyway. Elaine got married, then I got married, had my three wonderful children. Sorry, I forgot to say where I met Billy. I met Billy at the front of the Whitehill Shops when I went to get my dad a paper one day, and he asked me where I was going that night. I said, nowhere. He said, okay, meet me here at 6 o'clock. Well, I done that. I went and I met him at 6 o'clock. Didn't even know him. When I introduced him to my mum, she said to me, what are you doing with that wee squirt? Because at that time, I was tall, but Billy hadn't really grown by then. he has grown slightly. So Billy and my mum got on quite well. My dad and him had their differences. My dad used to laugh and say, you can't be a left-handed painter, but Billy was a left-handed painter. Both of them were painter and decorators, so he ended up working with my dad for a while. They seen the error of their differences and got on quite well in the end. As I said, I had three children, Stacey, Kirsty, who couldn't make it because Faith wouldn't sit without coming up to stand here with me, and my big son William there, pride and joy. They all have gone on to have their own children. I am now a grandmother of six grandchildren. In 1995, we were in a really, really bad car accident. They said I probably should have been dead then, so I know God was with me then, because it was a week before Christmas. And I hit the windscreen. I had multiple injuries. I lost my eyelid. I got a new eyelid. I didn't lose my sight in any way. My sight is fine. There was no glass damage to my eye. So I was scalped. I had 172 stitches in my head. I had a broken shin bone, all sorts of injuries. But I knew then, even in the car, that I was okay, because I could feel God with me. My children were all in hospital, and that was a week before Christmas. I didn't know where they were, if they were injured or anything else at that time. But I just prayed. Stacey was the only one at home, so Stacey could have been orphaned because we were all seriously injured. But God was with us and got us all through it. I got home on Christmas Eve, bandaged all round. My children called me Egghead because I had this bandage all round the place. But we got through Christmas, and we got through the rest of that time, which was hard, in and out of hospital, different surgeries and what have you. But I prayed, and Billy prayed, even though he wasn't a Christian then. Although I was a Christian in 13, I lost my way. But I always prayed, I always read my Bible. Even when I was out drinking at the weekends, I read it during the week. Hypocrite. Maybe people would call me. But it kept me strong. I can't remember what year it was, but a few years ago anyway, I took a mini stroke. It was actually the day before William's 16th birthday. And I was in the back of the ambulance, and Billy, I could see, was crying and praying out to God, and he wasn't saved then either. But he prayed, and our prayers were answered because I came through that as well. But because of that, we got into financial difficulties because I was out of work. So we had to sell our home. We moved in with Kirsty very briefly, and the Lord blessed us with a two-bedroom bungalow in Jubilee Drive, which was what we always said we would love to have, was a bungalow. I was in and out of hospital quite a lot after that. I had three suspected heart attacks, which thank the Lord weren't heart attacks. They were heart related but not heart attacks. I've had surgery last year, which went quite wrong at the time, and the Lord has pulled me through that as well. And I am back on the road again. I've been through every scan machine because I have high levels of rheumatoid arthritis, but I have no pain. So I know that I'm not accepting that, because the Lord says I'm healed, and I believe I am healed. My dad's death 3 years ago shook my life terribly. It was a big shock, because he wasn't ill, and he just died very suddenly. I wanted to speak at his funeral service and thought, how could I ever stand up and speak at a funeral? But I did, and only by the grace of God I was able to do that, because God was with me there as well. 4 weeks later, Trevor, Elaine's partner, took his own life. Well, that was another kick that we didn't think we were going to get through. But I prayed and prayed, and I went to see Elaine, and Elaine did say, well, what's your God doing now? What's going on? Why is your God doing this? And I said, it's not God. That's the world. It's Satan. I says, and I prayed at Trevor's funeral, not at the actual funeral, but when the laying of the ashes, there was a crowd, a large crowd at the grave, and Elaine had asked me to pray the Lord's Prayer. And I did, and the men that were at that funeral, I didn't even know how they would even know the Lord's Prayer, but they knew the Lord's Prayer. And I just hope that some of them, that their hearts were touched at the graveside. I don't think there's much more to say, only that when I came to Shiloh, I've been blessed since I've came to Shiloh, and I've had so many friends and family here. I feel like family, and I've never felt rejection here, because I know Jesus is here, and Jesus is in my heart, and always will be. Last Sunday morning here, Jesus spoke to me, and he said to me, go and speak to Gemma. Now, I turned around, and Gemma was crying, but I didn't go and speak to her at that time. I went out to the Sunday school, and I came back, and she walked past me, and I said, you do know what's wrong with you, Gemma, don't you? And she just smiled. Well, then that night, last Sunday night here, I was sitting over on this side, and Gemma was here, and the Lord said to me again, you need to speak to Gemma. So we led Gemma to the Lord last Sunday night. Oh, so I just hope that the Lord keeps working in me and using me for everything in my life, and my children hopefully someday will come to know Jesus as well. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Life, she was able to say, but through it all, the Lord was with her. As I said, Julie started the series off, and last week Shirley told of God's grace in her life as well. And Linda's turn, you know, tonight has, I'm sure, touched each of our lives. Well, next week, Naomi Hamilton will be giving her testimony, and that brings our series to a close. Complementing the women's weekly testimonies, myself and Keith have been preaching just a short message on what we have described as four of the more obscure women in the Bible. I began the series, for example, about the woman with the issue of blood who came up behind Jesus, reached out in the middle of the crowd, reached out, touched him, and was immediately healed after years of trying to get this issue dealt with. And this was a woman of faith who, in the middle of all of that crowd, could reach out and touch Jesus, and Jesus knew somebody had touched him because he felt power leaving him. And yet we don't even have that woman's name. Last week, Keith spoke about a woman called Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, whom the Lord raised from the dead. These are women you don't often hear about. Well, tonight I want to speak about one of the numerous women whom the Apostle Paul mentions in his letters. And it's in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes these words. He's writing to the Christians in Rome. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. The name Phoebe means radiant or shining one. And this woman Phoebe was from a Greek coastal village or townland called Cenchrea, and it's near the city of Corinth in Greece. And the Apostle Paul was in Corinth at this time, and he had written a letter to the Christians in Rome. Now, we know it in the Bible as the Book of Romans. It's believed that Paul entrusted his letter to Phoebe to take to the church in Rome. And Paul writes asking them to receive Phoebe in a manner worthy of the saints. In other words, he says, welcome her and treat her as Christians should. And when I read this, I laugh, you know, because I think to myself, what possessed Paul? Imagine Paul entrusting such an important letter to a flaming woman. Now, before there's another stoning, I said it like this because the Apostle Paul gets so much bad press about women. He's been accused of being a misogynist, a woman hater, a belittler of women, one who would keep women down. He has been accused of hating women so much that he wants them not to open their mouths when they enter through the door of a church. But any careful reading and study of Paul's letters proves otherwise. It was Phoebe. It was a woman whom he asked to deliver his letter to the church in Rome. And look at what he says about Phoebe. He commends her to them. In other words, he highly regards her and he wants them to do the same. He wants the Christians in Rome to hold this woman in high regard. He calls her our sister. Paul sees Phoebe as equal in Christ, in God's family. He tells them that she is a servant of the church in Cenchrea. And here's the interesting thing about the word that's being used here. The word servant means deacon or deaconess. Now, for any of the more militant women in the church, this is the verse that you need to hold on to when you think that a woman should be in leadership in the church. Because this is the one that theologians down through the generation says this means that Phoebe was actually the leader of the church in Cenchrea. Personally, I don't buy into that, but that's the verse that people use. But she has to be held in such high regard. And such was her position within the church that Paul says he uses the term deaconess. And finally, he says of Phoebe, she is a helper of many people. She is a helper of many. And the word that he's using here is prostatus, which means an assistant, like a care assistant. She assists so many people in their day-to-day living, so many people in their walk with God, so many people in providing to help meet their needs. Here in these two verses of Romans 16 is this obscure woman, Phoebe, and yet we can learn so much about her. This radiant, shining one was trusted by Paul and commended to others. She was a highly regarded and respected woman in the church of the Lord. Paul said she's a sister in Christ, a servant of the church, and a helper to many. What a wonderful, beautiful testimony Phoebe had. And it was all because of Jesus. Well, you know, Linda means beautiful, tender. It also means serpent. That means she can have a bite. But it means beautiful and it means tender. And what a wonderful testimony Linda has. And it's all because of Jesus. You see, Linda shared about her relationship and her walk with the Lord. And the Lord has given her this wonderful, this beautiful testimony. Linda, in that sense, is a radiant one, a shining one, because the light of Christ is in her. And the Lord, not the Apostle Paul, the Lord commends Linda to us and says, "This is my daughter." A highly regarded and respected woman in his church. And she too is a servant of the church here in Shiloh and a helper to many. From the days of feeling rejected, even though she knew her family loved her, and she's not in any way running her family down here, that was made very clear. She loves her family loved her. But she felt that sense of rejection. But from rejection to acceptance in Christ. At 13 years old, giving her life unto the Lord and going through all of her traumas and all of the different things that she went through, she was still protected. She was cared for by God because the Lord loved her. And through it all, he has been there. And through it all, he will continue to be there. And it's all because of Jesus. And is it any wonder that Linda can say, "I love Jesus"? Well, let me say, Christian, women, men of Christ, we are equal in the Lord. We are his children, and each of us has a wonderful testimony of God's loving grace and mercy in our lives. We heard it from Julie. We heard it from Shirley. We heard it tonight from Linda. And I know we'll hear it again next week from Naomi. And we all, Christian, as God's children, have a wonderful testimony to God's loving grace and mercy in our lives. But are we all servants of the church? Are we all helpers to many? You see, some people think that they've come to church to be served and not to serve. But Jesus said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." And Christian, we need to ask the Lord to give us servants' hearts like Phoebe, like Linda, and use us to help reach others with his love. You know, maybe tonight you're here or you're listening to our podcast and you're not yet a Christian, and you've listened to Linda's testimony about her love for the Lord and what he has done for her. Well, it's my job to tell you tonight that you too can know the Lord. You too can experience his love for you and let him give you a wonderful testimony. To receive this, you simply have to do what Jesus says. And he says, "Confess your sin." That doesn't mean tell Jesus everything you've ever done wrong. You might tell Elaine's sins, tell somebody else's, but he's not asking you to tell your sins. He's wanting you, when he says confess your sin, he already knows them. He wants you just to agree with him that you are a sinner. And then he says repent. That means change the way you think. Turn around from that and turn to God and trust in Jesus. And if you do that tonight, just like Linda, you too will be able to say, I love Jesus, and thank him for the wonderful testimony that he will give to you. Phoebe was a beautiful woman, a radiant, shining one. Linda, tonight, in her testimony, is a radiant, shining one, standing up to publicly proclaim the name of Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And tonight, Linda can hold on to the promise that Jesus gives. Whosoever, including Linda Neal, whosoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. A highly regarded and respected woman in the church, a sister in Christ, and a helper to many. And it's all because of Jesus. And you too can know Jesus as your Lord and Savior tonight, if you want to. If you want to ask him, you can do so in the quietness of your own heart, or as Linda said, we had the privilege last week to be with Gemma when she gave her life to the Lord, and we will happily meet with you afterwards and chat with you and point you to Jesus. You'll never look back, and through it all, he will be with you, even on to the end of the age. Let's pray.